Isaac Davey Aronson in for Brian Lehrer here on WNYC and WNYC.org. They're virtually unavoidable in nearly every newspaper or magazine, on cable channels, and yes, even here on public radio. We're constantly hearing about scandals, from shoplifting to unpaid taxes to golfers' indiscretions. Sometimes you've got to wonder, why are some people compelled to share their most embarrassing, shameful moments with the world? And why do we, the American public, continue to take it all in, devouring every detail? Here with some insight into scandals is Laura Kipnis, professor at Northwestern University and author of How to Become a Scandal, Adventures in Bad Behavior. Laura Kipnis, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you. But let me just say, I'm less interested in the minor indiscretions than I am in, like, the major public downfalls, people wrecking their lives in public and, you know, than what we make of it.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, what makes something a real scandal of that size, as opposed to just, as you said, a minor indiscretion or just gossip?
Well, there has to be some major transgression of a social taboo to begin with, which sometimes involves lawbreaking, but it also can be just some vast social impropriety. And then the public gathers and hurls stones, bestows shame. You know, there's a sort of ritual quality to it, you know, that we all participate in. So it's not just about the transgressors. It's also about the pleasure that we take in casting them out and in throwing the stones, which also, of course, lets us off the hook for our own transgressions.
Well, you write about in the book four big scandal makers, Linda Tripp, James Fry, the former New York judge Saul Wachtler, and Lisa Newark, the astronaut who famously drove from Houston to Florida wearing a diaper. With so many scandals to choose from, why those particular four as your big examples?
I think at some level I was trying to figure out my own fascination with those cases. The book is in two parts. The first part is downfalls, and the NOAC story and Saul Wachtler are both these really horrendous stories of people just, you know, in such self-destructive ways, playing out these sort of weird, unconscious psychodramas on the public stage. And then the second part of the book is uproars. That's James Fry and Linda Tripp, who both, at some level, inserted themselves in the midst of scandals. But, you know, using the public machinery like that, it's never quite clear what's going to happen to you in return. So they both became big national laughing stocks. So part of it's about who we laugh at as well.
We have just a couple of minutes. Listeners, give us a call. We want to hear from you if you're a scandal addict or if you hate hearing the nitty-gritty details of someone else's downfall. Does our culture need scandals? Is it all over the top? Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or, of course, leave a comment on our website. Go to WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Let's just touch on a couple of those scandals real quick. I mean, the James Fry scandal, who, of course, he wrote a memoir, A Million Little Pieces, was that?
Yeah, which was accused of being much of it made up.
You know, I remember at the time that this was happening being a little bit mystified by this as a scandal, because at a certain level you're like, all right, so he made up some stuff in his memoir, no harm, no foul. What happened there that made it such, and no less than Oprah took him to task for it on air?
Well, I think that he became a huge scapegoat, and you and I are sort of alone in thinking that, because I think he took the fall for the publishing industry as a whole. And I think the ways that we all have to market ourselves and comply to the demands of the market to stay ahead. I mean, it's no secret that writers write for the marketplace, and if they don't, they don't get published. And he wrote the book the marketplace wanted at the moment. I'm not somebody who ever thought memoirs were true to begin with, so I do agree that he took the fall for something, you know, that our industry-wide practices.
And perhaps we were expressing our own guilt at wanting that particular thing at that time and being sucked into it, I suppose.
We want life stories that read like novels, and so of course they're contrived and manipulated into the shape of high drama. So he went farther, you know, arguably than some people did, but he also wrote this book that, you know, was vastly popular, which I think he also got punished for.
Now, of course, James Fry is in the public sphere already because he wrote a book and then went around publicizing it. But if you look at somebody, say, like the astronaut, Lisa Nowak,
yeah,
who who drove from Houston to Florida wearing a diaper so she wouldn't have to stop and was involved in this sort of love triangle. But when she got in that car, she wasn't intending to be a public figure, presumably. So there's got to be an audience media aspect here, too.
Well, there's two interesting things about that. One is that the diaper thing was not actually true, but scandal elements don't have to be true to be scandalous. But it was such a humiliating icon. You know, it just took the public imagination because it allowed us to shame and humiliate her all the more. But this is someone who was basically suffering from a romantic injury and, you know, went a little berserk. It was a blow to the ego, and she acted out this drama publicly, which I think to some degree is also a revenge story. And I think that's part of the attraction of this. There's so much unconsciousness to it and also so much unwitting self-destruction. So I think a lot of these scandals raise the question of, like, is there some self-destructive element to the human animal? We hear about the will to survive, but is there also some will to seek punishment? And that's what's queasy in a lot of these stories. And I think that's what attracted me to these particular stories. There are these elements you can't quite figure out about them.
Let's take a call. Danielle is calling from the Upper West Side. Danielle, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Yes, please. Could you please address the financial aspect of the scandals? The media needs to sell in order to make its bottom line. And I think that that's a very important aspect of why these scandals are reported on, why they were reported on for so long, and what that means for what's not being covered.
Danielle, thanks for your call. Laura Kipnis.
I think that's certainly one aspect of it, but I think, once again, we scapegoat certain institutions when we're not wanting to look deeper. So the media makes money off of scandals, but I'm interested in the ways that scandal is something that goes back to the beginnings of the social order. You know, there is this ritual quality to shaming transgressors, and the media allows us to do that and plays these things out publicly, particularly when there's, like, some elements, say, the humiliation of the diaper or some other icon, some symbolic thing to seize on. But I don't think you can say it's only the media.
And just briefly, in our last minute or so here, is there a hypocrisy element that often, you know, that plays into the bigger scandals? I mean, certainly the biggest one here in New York being former Governor Eliot Spitzer downfall. But, you know, some will make the argument that those people in the public sphere who, for instance, make other people's personal lives, they're part of their public policy, open themselves up to that sort of thing. So if you're going to, you know, prosecute other people's, as Spitzer did, prosecute other people's prostitution scandals, then you've opened yourself to much more on that front.
Well, hypocrisy is one of the favored things that scandal likes exposing. And in fact, I've been writing this series of pieces on Slate.com, and the last one was about the way the public-private divide is all over the place, and scandals like the Spitzer scandal are part of that, the private element exposed to the public view.
Well, we'll have to leave it there for today. Laura Kipnis, author of How to Become a Scandal, thanks so much for joining us. And there is a reading book signing at Powerhouse Arena in Brooklyn tonight. Is that right? Great. Thanks very much for being here. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Brian Lehrer. He'll be back tomorrow. The Brian Lehrer Show was produced by Paige Cowett, Alan Smith, and Rachel Senator. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. We had intern help from Annalise Winnie and Sam Dishy. And that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Have a great afternoon.